if you increase your deductible to say $10,000 and you get a bad hailstorm that really damages your property, you're going to have to pay all of those roofs for the most part out of pocket. So that's why, because of the weather tragedies, I always keep my deductibles at $1,000.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Okay, and hello there, and welcome to another System Saturday episode of the 5-Hour Real Estate Week. And today's topic is going to be insurance. Now, insurance, when I got started, it was kind of like the enemy, okay? And you ought not think about it that way. Your insurance agent, I want you to think of them. They should be part of your team. Yeah, the big insurance companies, they are all structured or all set up to try to keep from paying out claims. Like we see the personal injury lawyers suing on Jerry Springer and things like that. But really, insurance is... it's supposed to protect you, your business, things like that. Now, is it the only protection? No, but I'm going to give you some tips on this, on how you can make this a little better. Now, back in, when I first got started, I remember I bought my first little 2-bedroom rental house. They added that property onto my homeowner's insurance. And then they did it for the second one, and the third one, but I'm going to say somewhere around the fourth or fifth or sixth property I bought, my insurance agent, who I didn't know anything about insurance. He says, Mike, we can't put this on your homeowner's policy anymore. We've got to get you a commercial policy. Well, oh my goodness, boy, I felt like I was in the big time. I just made the jump from being just a good old hourly paid police officer to having a real true business, because the insurance company even said it's a commercial policy. Well, I didn't know any better. And so I got a commercial policy. And I'm going to tell you right now, without digging into it and getting it into a deep dive, let's not do a commercial policy, because it just opens up the door for too many things for folks to attack your nest eggs. So here's what I recommend. Number one, you're going to have a separate policy for every property. And that way they can't link stuff together. Okay. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I found out the hard way a number of years ago that if a tenant slips and falls and they pretend like they have a slip and fall, they go get an attorney. The attorney can call your office and say, hey, my client is Sally Smith, slippery Sally Smith, and she fell and busted her ankle or something on your property. I need to know what insurance company you have. Well, this made me madder than a mashed duck. You can't have that. And he says, yes, I can. And he says, I almost argued with him. And so I took his name and his number. I said, let me make a phone call. So I called up my insurance agent, and the insurance agent goes, oh yeah, we do that all the time. And state law. Now it's Kentucky law. I don't know about where you live and if that's your state law, but doesn't that just make you cringe? Well, guess what? When they fax over that deck page, it's got all the properties on that insurance policy. And how do I know that? Because I know that for a fact, because I'm a hard money lender. And back before the last financial tsunami and crisis that we had, 08, 9, and 10, I was a hard money lender. And there's a very private investor, very super private, doesn't want anybody to know anything that's going on. Well, I made him a hard money loan to capture a great deal. I was his Uncle Guido, if you will. And one of the things that I require at the closing is proof of paid insurance. Okay, so guess what? They send me over proof of paid insurance. He's got a commercial policy. It lists every property that's on that commercial policy. I let him know about that, and he freaked out. I freaked out. I didn't know that was going on. So that's another reason you might want to think about this. Okay. So take insurance very, very seriously. Now, understand this. Most insurance policies, they do not cover environmental hazards. So things like asbestos and lead and mold and spores and radon and all this and that, if they can get away with it and it's an environmental hazard or something like that, they don't cover it. The other thing where me and you need to really pay attention to is something called negligence. Now, what's an example of negligence? Negligence could be something like a neighbor calling in and saying, hey, that tree in the front yard's dead. That's going to fall over and hurt somebody. Well, if you get notice of that and you do nothing, that's negligence. What if you have a tenant that says, hey, that front corner of the front steps there's broke off, and that's a trip hazard. Okay. Or a handrail's broke or something like this, and you don't fix it, that's negligence on your part. And if your insurance company finds out about it, they can say, we ain't paying on it because you were negligent. All right. Let's dig into some real stuff here. So how do you find the right kind of insurance agent, the right kind of insurance company? Well, I'm going to say it's going to be no different than you selecting your competent real estate expert and real estate investing expert attorney and your real estate investing expert CPA. I had a brain fart there. Sorry. So just like we have the seven questions you must ask with the answers, so you know what the answers are, you can do the same thing with your insurance agent. And wouldn't it be nice if you could find a competent real estate investing expert agent who has investment property themselves? Don't you think they would be on top of what's best? So try to find one like that. Try to find one with a good company. And so you're going to interview them before you hire them. Yeah, you're going to ask for quotes and all this and that. But you know what? They got to compare apples to apples. And, you know, you might have a super duper policy over here that covers cigarette burns on a countertop and two leaves get in the gutter. I guess you could buy insurance for that too. So you got to compare apples to apples. And I want you to have a sit down interview like the current agent I have now in the company. I've been with him probably since 2000. And that's when State Farm went around and they had a company-wide, nationwide policy on canceling all policies on rental property. So, I had to find somebody pretty good. And me and Harry Borders, we did a lot of meetings over this. So anyway, so I interviewed Ference and we had probably two or three meetings and I wrote down some questions to ask. My wife was with me. So for example, here's a question to ask. Think of the risk that you have every day. For example, we love to do deals. So have you gone out or have you made an offer on a property and the seller signs it? So you have a contract, but you haven't closed yet. So maybe you want to wholesale it. Have you invited people to go over there and look at that house? You don't own it. But what if somebody slips and falls? What if you forgot to tell them that, hey, the third, fourth, and fifth step going into the basement is missing? So somebody falls, breaks a leg, get hurt. Okay, you know where I'm going with this. Ask your agent, are you covered for something like that? That could happen, guys. That's part of your everyday routine. Or your weekly or your monthly routine, sending people to places, especially if you're going to wholesale a property. Now, once you buy it, I know you're going to get insurance on it. Okay, what about another one? What if it sits vacant for more than 30 days? Are you covered on that? You might want to ask them about that. What are some other risks that you have every day? So then you got to think about, you need to knock these prices down, your premiums. So here's one that I hear all the time that it inevitably the investors wish they would have listened to Mike. I do not believe in increasing your deductible to $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. Here's why. Because when you get a number of rental properties, especially in the town that you invest in, well, every once in a while, Mother Nature is going to come in and beat them up, whether it's hail damage, ice storms, whatever, floods, it doesn't matter. Now, if you increase your deductible to, say, $10,000, and you get a bad hailstorm that really damages your property, you're going to have to pay all of those roofs for the most part out of pocket. So that's why, because of the weather tragedies, I always keep my deductibles at $1,000. I wish I could raise it. I know it would lower my premium, but I would miss out on coverage. And about the only time I'm going to file a claim on any insurance policy is on a weather tragedy, because when a weather tragedy happens, it does not go against my personal insurance record. Now, insurance companies, they talk behind the scenes, whether you want to know it or not, or whether you like it or not. So just like you have a driver's license. Well, if you run red lights, you speed, you get DUIs, all that goes on your driving record. Same thing with insurance. Okay, let me give you a real story here. So I meet with my insurance agent probably once a year, sometimes once every 2 years, and we review things. And he was telling me, remember when all the air conditioners were getting stolen and apparently scrap metal prices were high? Well, these idiots would go out and field dress an air conditioner unit and go sell it. They get $200 for it. Well, when all that was happening a couple of years ago, he had one of his investors. He had 10 rental properties. He got an air conditioner stolen. What'd he do? He filed a claim. They came in and paid it minus the deductible. A month later, gets another one stolen, files a claim. Insurance pays for it minus the deductible. And I'm going to say that the next or the following month, he gets another one. That was three within about in 1 year, three got stolen 1 year on 10 properties. Guess what the insurance company did? They canceled it. They canceled all of his policies. And then he gets a tattoo, high risk. So get this. So now when he goes to any other competent and, you know, A-plus insurance company, he tries to get insurance. It's like having a felony DUI on your record. He cannot get the best prices because he's high risk. And my insurance agent told him, please do not file claims on these. Yes, it's covered in your policy. Yes, they'll pay on it, but you're taking a big gamble on them canceling all of your policies because of that. And if they do cancel all of them, you will have a big tattoo permanently that says high risk. So you don't want that. And so deductible is one. So if you have a $1,000 deductible and a hailstorm comes through, well, the first $1,000 you're going to have to eat. And so I found out that works very well for me. Then also, when you're talking about insurance policies, look at the liability coverage per incident and the total aggregate per policy. So like I'll do probably $1 million per incident, $2 million aggregate. So that means a total of $2 million for the policy, $1 million per incident. But if you got separate policies on each property, that's pretty good coverage. Okay. Now, if you got them all lumped into one commercial policy because you want to be cheap and all that, look at your per incident and your aggregate per policy. You might be leaving yourself wide open. I encourage you this: go shopping for the insurance company, the insurance agent. And when I interviewed Ference, remember I said it took two or three meetings for us to ask questions. This is music to my ears. Although I didn't like it, it was music to my ears. Ference, am I covered if I've got a house for contract or I've got a house that I'm looking at and I want to wholesale it to somebody else? I don't own it yet. Am I covered for that? He says, you know what, Mike? That's a good question. I don't know. Let me find out for you. Now, wouldn't you much rather have him tell you that, him or her tell you that, than to make up some BS? Oh, yeah, it's covered. Yeah, because remember, they want to sell insurance. They get paid commissions on selling your policies. Okay, so he's part of my team. Now, the other one is, I encourage having one insurance agent at one insurance company, because here's what that prevents. That prevents them from pointing the finger. So let's say you've got 10 properties at ABC Insurance Company, and you got 5 properties at XYZ Insurance Company, and you got another 3 properties at AAA Insurance Company. Well, if something bad happens, guess what they're all going to say? They're all going to do this and point the finger and say, well, I thought you had that with that other insurance company you used. And they said, well, I thought you had that with that other one. Don't give them an opportunity to point fingers and think I thought something else. If they know that you are dealing only with them and they have all your insurance, except for life and medical and health insurance and all, then they know the buck stops there. So let's do that. And now let's help them out at the same time. So you want to have good insurance. And basically what I do, insurance premiums keep going up. We read about it everywhere. It's happened every year since I started. So what do we do? About every 3 years, I'll get together. We'll have a meeting with my insurance agent and review my coverages. So maybe I whack off albino zebras doing something in the toilet or in the drains. Well, I don't need that coverage. I'll take that off. So you can go in there and kind of go line by line and remove some of the coverages that you're paying an arm and a leg for and knock down your premiums and keep them very, very reasonable. And lastly, you want to help your business, your family, and your insurance agent. So if you have rental properties, why not encourage your tenants, your new residents, to get their renter's insurance with your insurance agent? That way, when they cook bacon naked on a Sunday morning and catch the kitchen on fire, you can be in the loop, because then you can call your insurance agent. They've got their renter's insurance with him or her, and they will pay to fix everything up like that. So those are just some of the reasons there. And so study on that, do a little homework on that. And we'll see you on the next one. Adios.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com /50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.